Well, before I kind of do start this, I mean, I just thought when I chose the James reading, I didn't know that Mandy was going to come and share her little testimony there about the lady selling the big issue. But I think that's right on message. So thank you, Mandy. It was great to hear. The first session tonight on impact, I'm conscious that not all of you necessarily have been here through the previous weeks and have heard identity and intimacy. So what I wanted to do actually was to start off by just recapping briefly on the previous weeks. Then I'll say something about impact. I'll talk about how they come together. I'll use Peter as a bit of an example, and I'll say some things about my own life. And I hope it's helpful. I hope it moves forward. I've got a number of pictures up here which I hope will help. They might be a bit complicated as we go through it, but we'll see how we get on. I started off there by showing the three things, and I'm calling them pillars, basically, the three pillars. And I'm calling them that because I think they really are actually foundations on our faith journey. And they are important if we are to become more fruitful and if we are to facilitate giving glory back to God. That's what the John reading was all about. And as we look at the three areas, I think there's some key words that I've kind of taken away from previous weeks that I think are important, and maybe we can use those to help us. So in identity, I think that the key word really is one of understanding. It's understanding who God is, understanding who we are, and understanding whose we are. We are God's precious children. It's actually incredible. It's amazing, isn't it, to think that God wants us to be part of his family. We're co-heirs and we're loved by a God that desires closeness with us. I think it's also actually about knowledge and belief. Belief in who Jesus is and what it means for us to be Christians. And I think it also is about understanding some of the key elements of our faith, like forgiveness, like righteousness and salvation. I think it's about understanding God's grace and his unending love for us. And although it's not completely true, I do think it's a lot about head knowledge. And I think it's a lot about truth, understanding what's truth. And we'll see the Holy Spirit helping us to understand that. I think when we talk about intimacy, a number of words came out from that. I think fundamentally it is about relationship. Our Father loves us and he wants a relationship with each one of us. Every one of us in this building tonight, he wants that relationship with. And as we get close to him, he reveals his heart for us. He helps us to understand that we are loved, that we're precious and special in his sight, and that he's died for us. But he also reveals his heart to us. I think he tells us about the things that are on his agenda, the things that are important to him, the priorities that he has. And I think he shares with us some parts of the plan that he has for our lives. And this involves communication, two-way communication with God. As God speaks directly with us through his word, through the Spirit, and through others. And as we talk to him in prayer, and we start to engage more emotionally with him, and we grow and develop in our relationship. Now, I've put time there. I don't know how much it came out, but in many ways, I feel that if we want to grow in intimacy with anyone, we need to spend time with them. And that's the same with God. We need to spend time with God. I've linked it with hunger and desire, because if we don't hunger and thirst for God, if we don't have that desire inside us for God, it's going to be hard to build a strong relationship with him. Now, fortunately, the good news is that God is building that desire in us. It's not dependent, thank goodness, on us. God is building that desire within each of us, because we have these worldly elements, don't we, that kind of pull us away from him. And I know only too well myself. Busyness is one of the biggest problems. My intimacy with God is affected by that. So in many ways, I think when we're talking about intimacy, we're talking about the heart. It's making that move from the head to the heart that we heard in the week. It's talking about trust, putting our trust in Jesus. So moving on to impact, I think the key word here is transformation. We are being changed. We're being transformed by God's power and God's love. It says, tells to us in the Bible that we're changed from glory to glory as we become more like Christ. That's what God wants for each of us, actually. He wants our lives to be changed. He requires us to come towards him. And I think as we do that, we have to respond. We have to do something. So we have to be open. We have to be willing and prepared to allow God to come in and impact us. And sometimes we put walls and barriers up, don't we, that stop that. God has to be allowed in to change our hearts and lives. And I think we also need to be responsive to him. It's no good just hearing. We also need to be responders. We need to be hearers and doers of the word. It's about service. It's about our service to God, and it's about our service to others. So I think actually impact is the most practical of the three. And it's about change, and it's about being changed. And I think it's about our faith becoming alive. That passage that we read from James is warning us about the fact that our faith can seem dead if it's not being shown and active and actually being involved with people. So hopefully that's a little bit about impact and how it sits alongside identity and intimacy. But this next slide is trying to show that actually what joins these things together is it's God's love. I think God's love is flowing continuously out. It's flowing into the world. It's flowing into us. It's flowing through us. God is asking us to receive him. God so loved the world. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died for us. And I also think God's call is important for us here tonight. God has called each one of us. You did not call me. You did not choose me. I called you. I chose you, he said. Each one of us. Each one of us has that call of God in our lives. You wouldn't be here tonight, actually, I think, if you hadn't had that. But actually, each of us have got that call. And together, I think that together with the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, actually are the driving forces, the powerhouse, which provides the foundation for our identity. It provides that path into intimacy with him, and it provides the catalyst for impact. And as we look more closely at impact, I think there are two things that we need to think about. We need to think about God's impact in our own lives and our impact in other people's lives based on what we have received. The first part is the impact that Christ has in our own lives. How through the Holy Spirit we grow fruit, we develop, and we mature. And how this changes us as individuals. The fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident. Love, joy, peace, patience. Not all at once, and not all in equal measure. But we grow, and they develop and change our approach both to God and to others. Then, when we've been impacted by God, somehow we can't help but impact others. The fruit in our lives is the path for service and support to others. We love others more. We're perhaps a bit more patient. There's a kindness about us. There's a bit more compassion. And the gifts that God has given us, both natural and supernatural, are deployed towards others and to the kingdom. Whether it's administration or healing or prophecy, wisdom, whatever the gifts are, they become able to be used more and more by God. But to do this, we need to remain grafted in God, as we read in John 15. We need to be sure of our identity in Christ, and we need to grow and develop in our intimacy with him. And as we start to watch what he's doing, as we start to listen to what he wants us to do, actually our impact can increase and grow. So that's how I see the basic model working, if you like. The first two elements working together to build and release impact in ourselves and into others. When we first become a Christian, I think we start actually at the identity stage. Well, certainly that's where I began. And it took me quite a long time to build a picture of what God really was like. And I started to read about Jesus. I started to understand a bit about the Bible and what it said about him. And listening to what others said about him, and started to get a greater understanding of who God was. Then actually I started to call out to God to see, I guess, whether he was going to respond, whether he was real, whether he was who he said he was. And as I started to do that, I think I started to realize that as my faith was growing, I began to realize that I was being called into relationship. God wanted more of me. And I started to realize, actually, that he expected some things from me, too, in terms of lifestyle. And I started to actually want to do some of the things that I think the Bible was telling me that I should do. Basically, I think I started to feel the impact in my life as a result of what God had done. I started to move, if you like, through my chart, moving from identity, intimacy, and finally into impact. And we should be encouraged. We know that God called us when we were still far away, when we didn't understand these things. When we first became Christians, we don't kind of understand the building blocks. We don't understand what kind of flows from that. I think when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized in the Spirit, whatever you want to call it, when the Holy Spirit started to multiply inside me in terms of the impact that he was having with me, I think that process was accelerated, and I started to move from a situation where it was just in my head. It started to impact me and started to help me to understand that relationship was important. And I've tried to show here, actually, that you can operate reasonably effectively with a bit of identity, a bit of intimacy, and a bit of impact. But when you start to grow and develop in each of those, actually it expands, it gets bigger, and actually the impact that we can have on others expands through that. The trouble is, you can't be as effective as God wants us to be. If we don't really understand who we are, if we don't build that relationship, then we can't be as effective as God wants us to be, and that's why he continues to work with us. It doesn't stop us from having a faith, a strong faith, but we're just not, I think, I'm just not as available and as malleable with God as he would want me to be. And even today, I still, to some extent, struggle with this. I'm currently on a journey to spend more time with God, to just try and build that part of my relationship, because I want to appreciate God in all his fullness. And I know that until I really give that opportunity over to God, it's not going to grow the way I want it to. And I've discovered, actually, and I don't know what it is for you, but I've discovered that just taking time with God, going on a walk, is often really good for me, actually, and praying to him. And it helps me to be more open to God. I also find worship is a way that we can enter into his presence, and that can help build intimacy and relationship, things that perhaps a few years ago I wouldn't kind of have seen in quite the same way. So as I close this section and make this chart even more complicated, I want us to try and understand that I think we're on a journey, and it's a journey that is not always a straight line. It would be lovely if we just kind of move through it all, you know, get filled up in this bit and we move on and do the whole lot. But I don't think that's the way that it works. I think it's a learning process. It's a growing process where we circle back. We have disappointments. We have setbacks. And as our understanding of Christ changes and we move closer to God, we change that relationship as well. And that itself builds again. So we continue to build these pillars and we continue to grow. But it's not always quite as straightforward. So hopefully that helps you see a little bit of how I see the things working together. What I thought I would try and do, and I haven't got lots of time to do this, but I wanted to first of all just talk a little bit about Peter in this context and see if we can get a sense of how maybe his journey took him through some of these stages. So as far as identity is concerned, in some ways we don't know when Peter first met Jesus or first knew about Jesus, but we do know that he was called by Jesus from the lakeside with his brother Andrew. And I think it's actually really powerful. He was called to be a fisher of men. And when you're called out, that makes a difference to you. You start to change how you feel about yourself. You've been chosen. You're special. You're not left in the playground by the wall. You've been pulled out. And Jesus called him out. And I think it was probably a massive surprise to him. But it made a difference to him. And actually, when we realize that we are called and chosen, that can make a big difference to us as well. Of course, Peter saw Jesus act and perform miracles, and that was all helping him to build and understand who Jesus really was. He spent a lot of time, didn't he, with Jesus, growing, I think, in intimacy. He was sent out with the 12 and the 72, and he saw that the work that he'd seen Jesus do was also being done by himself and the disciples. And I think that showed that even though he hadn't got it all sorted, it was quite early on, he still had an impact on the people that he came into contact with. He healed and restored people. And as Peter began to understand more about Jesus and developed his relationship with him, he was being changed. And he makes that amazing admission of faith, doesn't he? Where he says to Jesus, when Jesus is asking, "Who do people say I am?" He says, "You are the Messiah, the Holy One." And Jesus replies, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Wow. That must have been quite a moment. I suspect Peter didn't know what he was saying in a way. It came out, and then he realized that he'd done brilliantly, fantastically. This was a real understanding he had now got of who Jesus was. And then, of course, pretty much straight after that, it was followed by Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter was putting a blockage in the way. "You're a stumbling block with only human concerns," it says. Don't you know those moments? Don't you know those times when we think we've got it right and suddenly pride comes before a fall? You suddenly find yourself going back again. I think there are some interesting examples of intimacy with Peter as well. Peter walking on the water. I think that showed a tremendous amount of trust in Jesus. Okay, it kind of went a bit wrong, but actually, Peter would not have done that at the start. Peter grew into that situation where, because of his relationship with Jesus, he felt able to go and do that. When he's with Jesus at the Last Supper, and Jesus reveals things that are going to happen to him going forward, talks about somebody betraying Jesus, and talks to Peter about what's going to happen to him and his failure. And then, of course, Peter gets that chance, doesn't he, to stand up for Christ. We've all had those opportunities, haven't we? Quite often we blow them and we get them wrong. Well, Peter blew it big time, didn't he? He denied Christ 3 times. And I bet if you asked him after that, when he'd picked himself up a little bit, he was decimated and disappointed, he would have said his relationship was rock bottom. It had been destroyed. It had gone. I don't think many of us could have built a relationship with somebody after that. But then, of course, Peter meets with Jesus after his resurrection. Firstly, with some disciples, where Jesus appears to them. It was a degree of corporate intimacy. So I think we talk about intimacy, and I think it is a lot about us individually with God. But actually, corporate worship, corporate intimacy also happens, where God reveals himself to us as a body, as well as us as individuals. But surely, of course, the greatest example of intimacy with Peter is when Jesus meets Peter on the beach after his resurrection, after his denial. And he says to Peter, doesn't he, "Do you love me?" Three times he says that. Feed my sheep. Jesus is restoring Peter. And he does that to us as well. No failure is too big for God to deal with. I've fallen. I've got it wrong. I've let Jesus down. But you know, he's never condemned me. He's always helped me to come back. He's always made it clear to me, even when I don't think he wants me, he's made it clear that he does want me. He is still interested in me. But to receive that, we do have to acknowledge, I think, sometimes that we've got it wrong. Peter had to respond three times to basically respond that he did love Jesus. And sometimes we have to acknowledge that. Sometimes we have to acknowledge that actually shame, doubt, guilt are getting in the way, and that God can't come through in the way. We have to give those back to God and to ask him to set us free. As Keith said this morning, that the cloak would be taken away, the cloak of shame, the cloak of guilt would be taken away from us. Only Jesus can do that. So if there's anything tonight that's in the way, give it back to Jesus. We'll have an opportunity at the end. Just give it. Just say that that's your desire, to let Jesus deal with it for you. So those are a few examples, maybe about how Jesus impacted Peter. And we saw a little bit about how he impacts others. Peter was transformed. He was transformed as an individual from that rough, tough fisherman to a life changer, to a fisher of men, through the deepening relationship he had with Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit breathed on him by Jesus and then overflowing in him and through him after Pentecost. I don't know what your synopsis would be of Peter, but he's a great guy, I think, actually. I'm going to bless him, the way he gets things right and gets things wrong. It feels very reminiscent, actually. But how would you describe it? Maybe, so Peter was the rock on which Jesus built his church. He brought many to Christ. He healed and restored many. And through the Holy Spirit working within him, he achieved amazing things. He was, of course, the first pope. But ultimately, he was just a man transformed by Christ. Our stories may be different, but we too have that same transforming power of God living in each one of us. The power that raised Christ from the dead is inside each one of us. So I hope that's helpful. You could have a look at Peter's life, actually, and go through it in a bit more detail. I think it is quite interesting to see the way that relationship moves around and comes backwards and forwards. I've got a couple of slides at the back that you can take away if you're interested. But I want to just go a little bit more and say a little bit more from a personal point of view, actually. And the way I want to do that is I've chosen a few words that mean something to me. I'm not going to talk about all of them, so don't worry too much. But I will pick out a number of those. So starting with faith. My faith has been built over time. It started, as I think I said, with a lot of reading and discussion. And actually, I found it quite hard to accept everything about who Jesus was supposed to be. And I tested and challenged for a long time, and it was hard going. But ultimately, I found faith, and I find it such a precious gift from God. I'm so thankful for it. I know it's undeserved, and I frankly don't really understand why God has impacted me the way that he has done. But we know that God's a God of change, a God of transformation, and he has changed me. As I was thinking about it, he's changed every area of my life. He's changed me as a man, he's changed me as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a friend, as a colleague. I can't think of any part of my life, actually, that's the same today as it would have been if I hadn't met Christ or if Christ hadn't met me. And I'm incredibly thankful for that. I give praise. Thank you. Hallelujah. I don't understand it. I still really don't understand why that's the case. But it goes deep inside me, and that's brilliant. Belief in God. God's grace, God's love has also been a thing that's grown inside me. It's helped me. It's developed me. And I've been guided and encouraged by many, many other people on my journey too. But actually, it's also been about seeing God at work. God at work in my life and in the lives of others. I've experienced his healing power. impacting my family, especially Rebecca, my daughter, but also myself and others. And it's been great to be able to pray with a number of people in this church and see God working in their lives. It reinforces and encourages us that God is real and he cares. It's brilliant. I spent a long time seeking after the Holy Spirit when I first became a Christian, and particularly the gift of tongues. And I'm not quite sure why it took so long, but it did take a long time. And I think it was actually my logical mind. It just wanted to overanalyze things. It wanted to be in control, actually. And it wanted to determine how and when it would happen. But of course, ultimately, you know, it was God's timing. And I felt amazing afterwards. I felt privileged and excited as I realized that God was working with me and through me. I was not out of control, as I thought I would have going to be. But I had a new language, a new basis for praise. And actually, a new reassurance. That down payment was a real reassurance for me. And the Holy Spirit was a major factor in my growth. And I believe both the fruits and the gifts have been really helpful to me in building my faith and underpinning my relationship with God. And it's definitely given me a greater trust, a greater closeness, and a greater desire for God. I've travelled to lots of places, actually. Not as many as some, but I've travelled to a number of places in search of God. I've been to Bethel, Toronto, Cwmbrand in Wales, many, many other places in the UK, just searching after God. Wherever God is and God's operating, I want to go and experience more of him. And I still believe there's so, so much more than I've already experienced. And most of the time, I want to press in for the more that he has. Sometimes I get a little bit, I'm not sure, but actually, most of the time, he knows. He absolutely knows. I felt the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, sometimes actually incredibly powerfully, and sometimes in strange ways too, as some of you will know. And I felt challenged by that. But I also acknowledge that these are demonstrations of God's hand on my life, his love, his desire to use me and his desire to change me. So, back to the words, character. As I've said, Holy Spirit has been critical in growth, in my growth, and I think that has come both through the fruit, so love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control, which guides and shapes my character, our character. And it's the way that we think, the way that we act is changed by that. And I think it's hard to comment on it, and I talked to Bryony about it, because it's hard to talk about your own character in a way. But I think it's true that I have been changed. I am more caring and compassionate than I used to be, and also for some reason much more emotional. I mean, even at this morning service, actually, I don't know quite what God's doing, but I am more emotional. And I'm also, believe it or not, more patient and concerned about others. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still selfish, incredibly selfish, and I'm, you know, but I am less selfish than I was. God has affected my whole outlook, my care for others, and I do have a greater concern these days for those that are lost and for mission. I'm still poor at it, but I'm better than I was. And I think through the gifts that he's given me as well, he gives those gifts as he chooses, not earned, but freely given. Gifts like tongues, as I talked about, which I'm very grateful for, but probably ironically, as I was thinking about this, it's underutilized. I don't use it as much as I should do. Prophecy, which I seek after, but I struggle with. Healing, where I've been fortunate to see and experience some amazing healings, as I've said. But there's still so much more to go for. Wisdom. Some people have called out that and commented on wisdom within me, and regrettably, it's not always present, and it's nowhere near as consistent as it should be, and I still do ridiculous things. But there's no doubt that I have been able to help other people, and I do believe on occasions it's been God's special engagement with me in those situations that have enabled me to help others. And, you know, it's difficult talking about things in a way like this, but I talk about them because I think it's important that we realize that God does impact our lives. He does change us, and some of these things God uses in ways that we wouldn't expect, and I'm incredibly grateful to God for what he has done. I feel incredibly blessed and favored by God. So I need to rattle on a little bit, but so decision-making is another area where I think God has impacted me. Core decisions in my life have been affected by him. Things like getting married. I wouldn't be married to Bryony if it hadn't been for God's guidance and God's peace over that decision. At work, on many, many occasions, I've turned to God for help and guidance and have made some important moves because of the leading from God. Both doing new things, actually, and also walking away from things that I would otherwise have pressed for, feeling they weren't the right things to do. My priorities are different. I spend my time differently. I give differently. I spend money that he has given me in a different way from the way I would have done. My mindset and my values are completely different from the way it was before I became a Christian. I've talked a little bit about hunger and desire for more of God, and the fact that I'm pressing into that to try and spend more time with him, to get a quality of relationship, and I'd say worship has been an important part of that. So those are just a few bits and pieces about that. I did say that there's also impact beyond ourselves. And obviously, some of the things I've talked about have impacted people. It's not only about what it's done inside me. But actually, talking about impact in others is also quite difficult. Partly because we never really know, do we, the impact that we've had on others. Sometimes people come back and say things to you, but not always. So certainly this side of heaven, it's quite hard to kind of call those things. And secondly, actually, I think it's incredibly challenging if you have that James passage. In some ways, it's a really hard passage to put down there when we're talking about impact, because it is really at the sharp end in terms of what do we do as a result of the faith that we hold? How are other people affected and changed by that? So I'm not sure the things I'm going to talk about are going to be brilliant examples of that, but I'll say a few of them anyway. So some of it comes through this church and through the ministry we have there with prayer ministry and leadership and things. And as most of you will now know, seeing as I said this was part of my LLM training, I've trained up as a lay minister. And you know, why did I do that? Well, I did it, if I'm honest, partly for myself. I did it because I wanted to reinforce and confirm faith and understanding, to get more theological input and things. But basically, I did it because I wanted to share God's word. I desire to make it relevant. You'll have to judge for yourselves whether I have done, but you know, and I want to bring it to life. I want to encourage, I want to challenge and to build faith in people. And I want to do that here. I want to do that with my relationships, the people I know and love, and I want to do it outside of here too. I've led, you know, various groups and things in the church over the decades, as Bryony told me. And I hope that through things like Home Group, we've grown together, and that's been a growing and building thing. I'm so delighted that Stephen's taken over the baton for our home group. I've mentioned wisdom, I won't go back into that. Things like charity support is something, many of us support charities, and I do too, but I've also decided to take a more hands-on role with a company called Step Change, which is a debt charity, a national debt charity, where I work in a voluntary capacity there as a non-executive director on the board. And I feel that's a great way for me to use my training and skills combined with my Christian values to support people who are struggling with debt. And it's actually part of my kind of lay ministry responsibilities, and it's good to do that, and I want to do more of that in a way. So there's other things. I've obviously, working with friends and colleagues, conversations at work, crises that people have been through is often a great time to draw alongside and speak to them and encourage them, get the chance to talk about the fact that God loves them and cares about them, and that he understands, even in the worst times, what they're going through, and that he's open for them to seek him and to be encouraged by him. My family too, obviously that's been impacted, I think, by my faith. And it's great to have a Christian wife, a daughter, still working on my son. I'm pleased by the input that he gets in terms of he's part of the Christian football team, for instance. So Steve Reed is doing a good job there, talking spiritual things to him, and that's great. And I'm confident in God. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and God is going to continue to work on John, I'm sure, and we'll see just how long that takes to bring him back to the kingdom. So overall, I could say so much more. God is amazing. God is brilliant. God is a life changer. He's made a massive difference in my life. And we'll just see what God wants to do going forward. I'm confident that he's not going to stop. And he's going to continue to take me forward. So anyway, that's enough, I think, from me in terms of impact. I hope it's been helpful. I hope you see how I see at least those things joining together. And as we close, I'd like us to all be a bit more engaged, actually. You've been incredibly patient sitting there, so thank you for that. And I'd like us to go into a time of prayer. I've talked a little bit about progression from identity to intimacy and then through to impact. And as I've said, I'm really thankful, genuinely thankful to God for what he's done in my life. And I'd love us to have the opportunity to do three things, actually, as we join in prayer. And I'll help you through this piece. I'd like us to start off by, I'm not going to embarrass anybody here. This is between you and God. I'm going to hopefully help you a bit, but I'm not going to get you to turn to the next person or anything like that, unless you want to do that. I'd like to do three things, really. Let's put them up on there, actually. So I'd like us to take the opportunity, in a minute or two's time, I'll help you with this, just to give thanks for some of the things that God has done in our lives. So I've talked about some of the things that I'm thankful for in my own life, and I'd like you to just think about those. Let God talk to you and say thank you for those things. I'd also like us, if you feel able, to just declare to God that we want to be open to him. We want to allow him to come into our lives afresh, to change us and to move us forward. And then in the final piece, I'd like us to ask God just to share specifically things that he has in his heart for each of us.